Hello, and welcome to the Professional Insight Podcast, Season 5. We've lost
Cyber
track
Monday.
Of our episodes.
Cyber Monday.
Cyber Monday. It is Cyber Woo. Monday. My name is Brandon Curry.
I'm Jeff Collins.
Bondo today. Bondo, not Josh Bondo. Bondo.
And Trevor Lindy.
Trevor Star Wars Lindy.
What did you...
Oh yeah,
Schwartz be with you.
Disney World.
Inflation my ass, right, Trevor's $500 on Star Wars stuff.
Once in a lifetime.
Somebody just came
a month before Christmas, $500 on Star Wars stuff.
That's okay. We established that this was an early Christmas present to myself.
Somebody just came back from Disneyland, Disney World, Disney World. Yeah, Disney World.
Yeah,
Disney World for a week. That was nice.
Otherwise known as Inflation Kingdom. That is the most expensive place on earth.
You want to talk about a place that has, notwithstanding their share price, which has plummeted in the last year, but that was mainly due to poor decisions by the replacement CEO.
Is that the tax liability?
No, that was the he just made some bad decisions internally and marketing wise. But anyway,
Jar Jar Binks he used as his main. Character.
Misa Jar Jar Binks. Misa Jar Jar Binks.
Oh boy. But in all seriousness, like that is the best place. Like they shake you upside down to get in. They take you for everything you own while you're there. And Trevor's got a couple of stories. And then they shake you and turn you upside down on your way out. Like you are literally left with nothing.
But Curry,
you know, I didn't even think I spent that much until I got back home and got my credit card bills. I was like, what the?
Oh yeah, it's great. It's the best business model.
It was my dad's.
Don't worry about it. We're on vacation.
It was my dad's 70th birthday. So my mom basically squirreled money
away. Yeah, tell the story. This is good.
And she squirreled money away to be for my dad's 70th and basically an early Christmas present for the kids. I still ended up spending $1,600 US. All
oh,
I had to
no.
pay for was
food. Oh no, $1,600. That was like one fucking theme park.
Yeah, but the point I'm making is all I had to pay for was souvenirs and food. I didn't have to pay for any of my park admissions. I didn't have to pay for
no flights.
No flights, no hotels.
No hotel.
My parents paid all of that. My parents even picked up a meal for us.
And those two things you got. There's half of your spend, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it was $500.
See, I don't think you would have bought those things if you were footing the whole bill for your family. You would have bought those.
I probably wouldn't have bought both, but I got the droid appointment first, and then the lightsaber appointment I got a day before.
So you look like you have less gray hair going to Disney with your mom paying for everything than you did when you came. Like you got black hair back. I have tons of gray now. I got white.
I may have gotten my hair back, but when Curry and I were talking on the phone, I used the analogy when I got back. I'm like, to Curry's point, Disney, yes, very expensive.
Exhausting.
Exhausting for sure. The one thing I give Disney credit for is they at least wine and dine you before they bend you over. Went to Universal for one day and honest to God, they're
no lube.
No, exactly. That was my exact comment. I'm like, there is zero lube that's being provided for you on this fucking.
On which one? Universal?
Universal, yeah.
Universal is my favorite by far. I'd just go back there. That's it.
Yeah, but, you know, they give you free lockers. But, you know, there's a bunch of rides. There's free lockers. But if you want to put it in a locker that your backpack can fit in, it's $2 an hour or a maximum of $20 per day.
That sounds like a deal there.
Highway robbery. The one point I got into an argument with an attendant because she told me that I needed to lock my phone, hat, and sunglasses. The problem is the way you get into your locker is your ticket, and I had the digital ticket on my phone. So how am I supposed to open my locker if I lock my key in my locker? She didn't provide me any feedback on it. I found out a couple of hours later that you just have to call an attendant over by the lockers. They will give you a business card or like a little, it's business card. They encode a barcode on it and that will unlock your locker for you. But didn't know that for 2 hours.
So you paid $1,600 for the week in Disney and you still bitched about money.
fucking right.
No, is there somebody by a racetrack?
No, I think Jeff is by a racetrack.
I keep getting
muted. Yeah, but you getting work done in your house right now?
Yeah, I am.
I'm okay.
I just sound like a snowman.
Nothing I do that's not spending money, so basement's getting work done.
Now, I kind of wish that I had my dad's lightsaber too, because then I could turn two on.
Okay, we're going to turn
the trouble and got.
We're going to turn geek mode off for a bit here and get into business.
Sure, let's talk business.
Let's talk Leafs.
For lower
we are talking business. Look how expensive Universal is.
Abby's Workshop Hollywood Studios. You can get yourself your very own.
Did you get anything at Harry Potter World? That's the good stuff.
No, $63 for a wand. Katie was going to buy one, and she's like, no, can't justify spending $63 on a Harry Potter wand.
That's like 3 days of a locker. It's not bad.
Two what?
Two wands we got.
You got two wands, of course. Two girls, yeah. One for each.
I didn't want to buy any. But I went with
my kids
John,
had already gotten
who you guys know.
Yeah.
And his wife, Shelby, had to have a wand.
Huh? So I got a wand.
See, but Bondo, you have that wand thing in that one bedroom where the Mac is.
Yes.
And, you know, where it's got like five or six wands on it. They were selling that at Universal for $300, I think.
What, to get three wands at once?
No. It was a rack with like six wands or five wands in it. It's a nice little display wall piece and everything. But yeah, I'm pretty sure it was $299. Might have even been $399.
I thought those were the two coolest things in Florida. Those the Star Wars world when you're walking around and the Harry Potter world.
Yes.
It's like you're there.
Absolutely. You got to get a picture with the Millennium Falcon.
Or Gringotts outside of Gringotts there.
Or get a butterbeer.
Oh, that was delicious.
And that was like $10.
It was $8.50.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. Crazy.
John Shelby?
Yeah.
Not one.
Yeah. See? Butterbeer. Enjoying.
Because I guess there's a frozen butterbeer too?
And that's what I got
was the frozen butterbeer.
So she wanted to try them both, right? And then my kids are looking.
Yeah.
No, you get one. That's it.
That's hilarious.
See, you'll be doing that soon enough, Curry.
Millennium.
When your kids get a little older, you gotta go.
There we go.
Nice.
Yeah, we probably won't do Universal Studios though, because
oh my god, if I go back, I do Universal Volcano Bay. I wouldn't even go to Magic Kingdom. I'd go to Disney Hollywood, but
They're more into the Magic Kingdom kind of stuff.
When they're like 10, 13, you're not going to want to go there anymore.
Hulk's one of the best roller coasters ever.
Oh, yeah. And that's the number one pass-out roller coaster in all of Florida is the Hulk.
Is it really?
Yeah, if you read about it. I thought the Velociraptor would be more crazy because I did both of them. But the Hulk is the number one pass-out one.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a zero gravity turn in it, right? There's zero gravity at the beginning. Yeah.
The Velociraptor, you're upside down going this way, and then you stop going the other way, and you're upside down the whole way. I came loose in my chair, and I'm a big guy compared to the other people we're going with. I was like, holy fuck.
Yeah, see, that Velocicoaster, we didn't end up going on it. It was too long of a lineup. And what was it? My brother-in-law ended up going on it, and he said it was about 5-6 seconds. Of like pure weightlessness.
Oh yeah.
When they do that transition from one way to the other, like you're just
floating
midair. And my nephew was on it, nearly shit a brick. So uncomfortable. But
my buddy went on, and we're both 46, and he came off, and he's like, "I got to sit down. I'm freaked out right now." Like he had to sit down, take a break, and all that. He's like, "I'm all messed up. He had vertigo going on."
And how did he feel about the Incredible Hulk coaster?
Not as bad. He didn't think it was really as bad. You thought the Velociraptor one was the craziest one.
But it's funny that you say that the Incredible Hulk is one of the worst ones, like for that.
We got the best picture of Colby. He's 10, my son, my young guy. And we went on the Aerosmith, the rock and roll one, which is an upside down one. His face and the camera, because we bought all the camera ones too. We're making a t-shirt for the family because his face is like that. Like it just scared complete shit. Terror, right? Yeah. Oh, he didn't know it was going upside down. And if we just said nothing to him. And it's the best face. It was worth the $10,000 for the trip, American, that we spent for that 1 week in Disney.
Yeah.
God. Oh my God.
We spent $2,000 at Universal.
Yeah.
Two G's at Universal, man.
Yeah. So we did two Universal ones. It was two G's each day. And the Volcano Bay one, too. American.
You got to get the fast pass, man, because you're not going to work. You're not going to be waiting 2 hours for one.
Well,
ride.
We went with another family.
But
and
here's,
they
here's
do
where
it,
I
so
get.
Like,
here's where I run the question is like, if everybody gets a fast pass, it's not long. It's not faster anymore.
No, because like, you're assholes going by you and you're like, you motherfuckers. You're like, you're watching them and like, you hate them and all that. And they just walk up the line. That's brutal.
20%. 20% will get the fast pass. Not more than that.
Yeah. That's it, eh?
It's expensive, man. It's expensive, dude.
It's like double the park.
Is it? Okay, I don't know.
What is it at Universal?
Wow. Universal is the most expensive park there.
Yeah, no, but like, what was the cost to upgrade?
Well, I think they have different kinds. They have like a Genie Pass where you get three rides. There's a Lightning Lane where you get everything. I think it's like $160
What did we pay for
American
our tickets
each?
For Universal?
For the Fast Pass.
I love that you're hollering at Annalisa right now.
For Fast Pass.
So that they don't have the Fast Pass anymore.
Yeah, they have like a Lightning Lane and a Genie.
It's called Genie. Like it's called the Genie Plus Pass now.
Okay.
And it varies from $15 per day per person to $22 per day per person. So when I went for Hollywood Studios, because I wanted us to be able to do all the Star Wars stuff, plus I had the droid and the lightsaber booking, it was $22 per person. So it came to $93 with tax. That was on top of the
per day.
Whatever.
No, ours was like 300 or 200 and something bucks per person.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, I'm saying, yeah, so it's different now. So it was still, I think, 110 a day for the regular ticket, mm-hmm, plus the Genie, yes, plus was 22 per person per day.
Yeah, it's $110 for the pass, and then it's like $230 for the fast pass.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that much.
But does that, yeah, but Bondo, does that Fast Pass work for all parks?
No. Yes, except for certain rides. No, you got it for the one pass, one park. And one park, one day. And with Universal, I think we got two parks. That's why it was so expensive, because we did the Harry Potter, and it goes into two different parks, right? So,
yeah, one's a Minion World and all that shit, too.
Yeah, but then you got to take Hogwarts. If you want to take Hogwarts Express,
yep,
that goes to the other park, and in order to enjoy that ride, you got to get. But anyways,
capitalism at its best.
The funny
thing, and then you buy a wand for $65, right? Like, you know what I mean? And then
the funny thing is,
you get a butter beer for $15, and then you get a chicken finger and fry for $25. So you're okay.
That the two park pass for Universal starts at $170 for an adult. But the day that we went, if we wanted the two park pass, it was, I think, $230 per adult.
You probably had different pricing than when I went too, because it's a little colder at the time you went, I think. We went, everything was so crazy pricey.
But you know, the problem when I went though is the cost was up because I was there the week of American Thanksgiving. Right. So when you looked at my hotel bill, the hotel price, I was there from Wednesday the 16th to Wednesday the 23rd, 16, 17, 18, it was lower. And then as soon as the weekend hit, the price went up. And then by the time we were Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, our last three nights there was even higher than the weekend pricing was on it.
Because you were heading into Thanksgiving.
Was last Thursday, right? American Thanksgiving. Yeah. So
Americans just love their thing. It's like a week-long celebration. It's crazy. Yeah.
They do it right. I have to.
Oh, they do.
They do it right.
Canada should totally switch to Thursday for Thanksgiving and take the 4 days.
Well,
it's the best.
We should be more thankful too, really.
Well, if I had a 4 day weekend, I'd be super thankful.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm Canadian. I'm a lot more thankful than being an American.
Yeah, but let's be honest here. Canada's starting to celebrate American Thanksgiving too, because they're like, why not? I got an American friend.
It's a holiday.
Next year, I'm going to Philadelphia for American Thanksgiving. They do it, right?
I watch football Thursday afternoon. Yep. That's great.
Thursday, and then hockey Friday afternoon.
Then
we're going to go to Saturday. A four-day week. You watch.
Well, this is what they need to do in Ontario. Do Thanksgiving, four-day weekend like that, and then they need to do the Super Bowl on Family Day. You know, so move Family Day to that week where Super Bowl Sunday, and make that Family Day on a Monday, and just make that a three-day weekend.
Sure.
Why not?
But
why make it difficult?
Dad's ain't going to be hanging out with the family. They're all going to be watching football.
No, well, on Monday, they're all going to be hungover from partying Sunday, but now nobody can party Sunday. Like, whenever you do a party for Super Bowl, it's halftime. Everyone's got to go home because it's school the next day.
Yeah. Now, screw and you it. Notice that, too. You start seeing the businesses, eh? You see the business, oh, well, we're going to have our staff party on the Wednesday.
Well, think about it now, too, though. Staff
party on a Wednesday.
Black Friday is bigger now than Boxing Day in Canada, I think.
Oh, it is. Yes. That surpassed, mm-hmm. yeah. I want to say 5 years ago.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure dead. Future Shop was still open in Canada when the shift went from Boxing Day to Black Friday.
Yeah. And they started working that because that's when I worked there, and that was like 7 years ago.
Yeah, that's the point.
Yeah, it all happened. It we got Black Friday because of the pandemic, because our money went higher than the US, if we all recall. And then the first Black Friday that had happened, we all the Canadians went, whoa, 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 wait a second here. Why don't we have like deals, right? Like, why am I?
Well, it made more sense because this is when you're buying for Christmas, right?
That's right.
Boxing Day,
absolutely.
You're spent.
Pain in the ass.
They tried to promote Boxing Day as you bought everybody else something for Christmas. Now it's time to buy for yourself. It's like the selfish day, right? It's like, here, now you didn't get what you wanted. Now go spend it. Well, you're like, well, I'm tapped. I got no money left. I just spent on Christmas. I spent $6,000 on Christmas. I got no money left.
Yeah. So then it at least it was sooner or later with it. Go.
No, go ahead, Gary.
I was just going to say, within 4 or 5 years, it surpassed Boxing Day.
Yeah.
And Annalisa was out. Annalisa was out shopping on Friday. Go figure. Mm-hmm. And
she clearly doesn't watch the show if you're commenting like that.
She's in the back.
She's just in the other room right now.
She said that most people were not buying for them when she had inquired this Black Friday. They were buying for gifts.
Yeah.
And which is...
All the wives are in Christmas shopping mode right now, full time.
Yeah, we're all done. Done and dusted.
That's the big
You're done
that's
shopping already?
About Black Friday.
See, if I stop early, I spend way more.
On the gifts that you're buying for other people, right? What happens on Boxing Day? You're spending your Christmas money.
Yeah, 100%.
Yes.
Right? I would rather save money and buy the gifts for other people at a cheaper cost than spend Christmas money the day after. I already got a tree full
of
presents.
Not only that,
from the wife and kids and parents and
Lindy, we all remember going to the bloody in Niagara, going to the Penn Center, dreading going to the Penn Center on Boxing Day to do exchanges.
Oh, future
crap.
Shot, buddy. Future
it was
shot.
Jammed, absolutely jammed. You were shoulder to shoulder, and like you're scrounging through mounds of clothes. Like it was hell. Like, I mean, I did it for the first 10 years of being, you know, a kid and having my own money, but then I stopped after that.
Lindy did a couple. I think you did one Boxing Day at Future Shop with me.
Yeah, I was looking. I wanted to buy a new TV, and obviously this business, the time of year it's slower. And Katie said, "Well, hey, why don't you ask Collins about getting a gig at Future Shop for the holidays, and then you offset your cost." And
you're a computer guy too, weren't you? When you went in,
yeah, I was in the computer area, but yeah, I was able to buy a TV at you know employee pricing discount.
That's awesome. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
No, it takes a year off your life working retail Boxing Day.
It certainly
100%
did.
It does.
It certainly did.
I had to be there. You had to be there for 6 a.m. and you had to do a mandatory 12-hour shift minimum. And they paid you $1,000 just for showing up that day. That's how crazy it was. So for me, when I was younger, I was like, oh, this is killer. I'm making $3,000 for the day. But it's hell. It was hell. Like you're done.
I think if I were to go back and think specifically about what it was, I can definitely tell you Boxing Day alone, I made close to $1,000 as just a part-timer.
Crazy.
Oh yeah.
Crazy.
Easy. Yeah.
Crazy.
Shout
out to Scarfone. Shout out to Scarfone. I was at Showtime on Friday. It was a great show.
He's got a Christmas scarf show coming up December 17th. Big shout out to Matt Scarfone. He owns Showtime Comedy in St. Catharines. He's part owner of it. But he's doing his third annual Scarf Christmas. If you want to laugh your ass off, go watch his show. He's really funny. Like, he puts on a good show. And he gives you a good deal at Brick for whatever you need to buy too. But he's doing it December 17th. We're looking to go. You guys want to go out with the wives for a good night? It's 200 bucks for a table of eight for the night.
Send an email, Jeff, because we might take you up. It was a great – listen, it was a – look, a couple of hours. He's
Saturday Night Live funny. He is funny.
He wasn't even on.
Oh, you didn't see him. So you saw other comedians?
Other comedians. I saw Scarfone at the Wise Guys, but he had three other comedians. And I'm listen, I'm telling you, a funny show.
Oh, yeah. It's funny. If you want to laugh your ass off, it's a good
funny
show.
Funny show. I didn't give it the credit it deserved before, because I'd seen it a few years back, and it was lackluster. Okay, but
he's got it running the right way. I laughed. They've had Saturday Night Live alumni on in there too. Now they bring in like big people from shows and all that that come on stage there too. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, there was a guy from the States.
17th of December.
December 17th, he's got it. 200 bucks for a table of eight or 30 bucks a person.
I can double check the wife.
We went last year. It was a good time. Be a good podcast, no doubt. Get ripped. Let the women drive home.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's the beauty. My wife doesn't drink at all. So I got like a perfect DD all the time. I love it.
So we want to...
Talk
about some topics. Yeah, let's talk business. We got all the basic stuff out of like, so just so for our listeners and stuff, we are going to go back to Fridays recording as opposed to Mondays.
Yes.
Just one, we have a lot more people that tune in and interact with us on a Friday. That's just, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. Two, we have a lot of flexibility, like us as professionals on a Friday, you know what I mean? Like versus... any other day. And then, yeah. Oh, and that's the other thing. I got an email from Sarah Ives. Hey.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm trying to organize a time with her, hopefully in December.
And you'll remember also, Sarah Ives from the
pandemic Netflix. Is she still in the same company? She was changing.
There's a whole story. We'll get into it when we have her on. So, we're going to get some people on from our companies.
I just read a university in the States somewhere came up with a flu vaccine. Like she,
that's what I sent her. On.
Yeah. So what'd
you
say?
No, I sent her.
Are they trying to rip her off?
Well, no, I don't know. I'll get Fry-yays when professionally. Oh. Thanks, Kristen. Thanks.
What the hell is a Mama Curry?
So our wives are listening. Yeah, that's good.
At least one is good.
Yours is.
At least so is she on board for being? Is she ready to be a DD December 17th?
Like at least use.
I don't know, Kristen. You wanna like chime in on that? What are we doing on Saturday, December 17th?
You could Uber.
Don't say I don't support you.
There you go.
Let's be honest. She's not here to support you. She's supporting the other three, right?
See, Jill watches after the recording, so she doesn't want to chime in and bitch at me if I'm saying anything bad.
But coming down the pipeline there, Kristen, it's December 17th. It's a Saturday. I don't know. She does the schedule. I don't do the schedule.
I get like that too. What are we doing this weekend?
I don't like, what are we doing? Like I literally just, what are we doing?
So I find out the date or two before, right?
Yeah, 100%. So whatever. What was I going to say? The
Sarah Ives. You were talking Sarah Ives.
Yeah. Which is going to be amazing. Which is going to be really good. So we'll get her on the mRNA.
So Philadelphia's stealing it or whatever, the university?
I don't know. We'll find out. I didn't get any much detail. I just said we'd love your opinion on this. So come on the podcast. It should be great. She's so Rookie, I know you're in the background there, but she's from the Netflix special Pandemic, that was, you know, not Plandemic, not the one on YouTube, Pandemic, the legit documentary. And she's one of the stars, and we've had her on before, and she's absolutely amazing.
She's one of our stars of the podcast.
She's wicked smart, SMRT. So there's that.
And then say it like she's from Boston. She's not from Boston.
He did Goodwill Hunting. Yeah, he's doing a Goodwill Hunting.
Goodwill Hunting.
Come on, Kurt. Yeah. You know, Blindy, get off the Star Wars track here. This is good movies.
She's from Boston. Wicked Smack. She's
going Wicked Smack.
Here we are. So I got a little, you know, Trevor knows this. I called him up the other day, and you know, this will kind of potentially get you guys going too, but I got to be very careful on, I'll keep it very general, but it's a mutual client of Trevor's and I, or I tried to make it another mutual client again to Trevor, but she already had, our client already had an existing relationship with a mortgage broker. Cool. You know, and Trevor agrees, he understands.
Boo.
Well, there's, listen, at the end of the day, we don't, there's no monetary gain for either of us. That's not how we do business. We just refer, and I try to refer, and if they already have someone, great. So doing a portfolio review with the client, and we've done a full-blown financial plan. And so we go up, and she's already nervous to begin with. She's retired. You know, the markets are pretty volatile. She's a widow. But she's done things right, you know, and she has pretty much, her home is almost paid off fully, which is, so what ended up happening was I go up there, we do the review. She's very pleased that she's not down that much because she's obviously ultra conservative. Okay. And,
I was going to say, if she's not down that much, what the hell did you have with her?
Yeah, well, she's in pretty conservative portfolio, so it did what it was supposed to do. How about that?
Yep. Was she cash?
And so we turn around and we start reviewing everything, and so she's very happy. She's like, "Listen, my daughter wants me to co-sign on a mortgage," and I said, "Well, what I would do is I would do a bare trust agreement, Bondo," and I said, "As long as you're not putting any money down for her and you're just helping her get the mortgage, then that's what I would do." So she wrote down bare trust, and she was going to talk to her lawyer about that. And then I said, you know, "Who are you working with?" And she's like, "My daughter already has a mortgage broker." So long
what
story
realtor
short,
right away, right? What right away? What realtor?
What lawyer?
And
yeah. What lawyer? Yeah, where's the loan?
Yeah, I did.
Right. Her daughter Trevor, only Trevor, eh? Unbelievable.
Yeah, her daughter already had everything. So I'm like, okay,
that's good.
So long story short, well, it is, but this is one of the reasons why I kind of keep my referral circle very tight. So turns out I know the mobile mortgage broker or mortgage specialist at one of the big banks. That's all I'll say. And he played hockey with me in when we were in high school. And so he was, I know Brandon. He's like, da, 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 da. And then he goes, "I need to see that your investments." So she does very well. And to put it into perspective, I said, "We could take all the money that you have in cash, keep your withdrawals the exact same, not indexed, and you'll have enough money for the next 17 years. So 82, not to mention her CPP and OAS are both indexed, and she's sitting on a very valuable home in Burlington. So she's got a lot of different levers to pull." She's like, "Great." So I said, "Email me, carbon copy him. I'll send you the portfolio summary." And that's all I sent him. He's in Mexico. He calls her up. And while he's in Mexico with the family, and he goes, "So-and-so, listen, I did a quick snapshot of your portfolio, and you're going to run out of money in 5 years. And I'm like, so she calls me panicking because she didn't sleep the night before. And she's like, "This is what he said." I said, "Where did he get that information from? I didn't share the financial plan. I didn't say the drawdown. I didn't do anything with him. He needed a snapshot. Trev, you can chime in here, in order to get to get her approved to sign off." So I call up my business partner who did the financial plan with me. And he's now mad. We double checked all of our numbers, and she still has money for the next 15 to 20 years. No problem if it's invested in the markets. Mm-hmm. So I call her back and I said, "Hey, here's the situation. You're fine. You know, he's going to call you." I'm like, "Have him call me. Bet you he doesn't have the balls to call me because he's dead wrong. He has not reviewed any financial information. He doesn't know what you're taking in his income. He doesn't know what your risk tolerance is. Nothing." So she's like, "Okay, that's what I thought. Thank you for giving me a call back." So I had to talk her down off a ledge again, which is fine. That's part. She's a sweetheart. I absolutely adore her as a client. And so my business partner calls me back and he goes, I bet you any money he's looking to sell her a reverse mortgage. Right? So strike fear into the client that they're going to actually run out of money within the next 5 to 7 years, which was totally false. They see an asset, which today, you know, in Burlington, for those that aren't aware, it's, you know, just inside the GTHA. Conservatively, she's sitting on a $650,000, $700,000 equity in her home right now. So right then and there, and Trev, you can chime in. And this is kind of a warning to our listeners and our clients. This is why you really need to vet and do your due diligence on the people that you deal with. Because, Trev, if you can comment.
Don't worry, they're really looking for that moment.
Yeah, and they're looking at different ways to make money. And a reverse mortgage is basically taking 60% loan to value of the fair market value of the home. And you get that in as access to a home equity line of credit. The bank then becomes the first or the second, depending on who has the mortgage on the property. And I called her back and I said, listen, be on the lookout that he might be looking to do this. He's trying to plant the seeds. And she said, you know what? I thought something was off. So she's like, all right, thank you very much for the phone call. But Trev, I called you. I forgot you were in Disney. Again, I apologize, but I was heated. I was fuming.
Was this when he was doing his lightsaber? Or?
No.
He
would have answered. He would have answered. He would have answered.
Yeah.
He would not have answered.
So Trev, take it from here.
Yeah,
I called you. We connected.
Yeah. It was one of those. We were having that conversation. And the scary part is back in the best. My context and what I take from that is at the beginning of the pandemic in 2020, a lot of lenders and stakeholders and everything in this business basically said, listen, be the voice of reason to your clients. Don't try and sell them. And when all the dust settles, it will pay you back tenfold. Customers will appreciate your advice. They will respect you more for it. And they will know that you're looking out for your best interest. And one of the things that I said to Curry is fast forward now to this conversation. And we have weekly calls at the brokerage. And I know it's not just my brokerage that's doing this. We've had lenders on our weekly calls. And everybody right now is talking about mining your database, looking for those opportunities because the business has slowed down. And that's very much what I feel that this mortgage professional was doing is they, again, total speculation. So I've got to be transparent about that. But just the story and the way that Curry is telling me everything that's going on and the interaction with the client and the mortgage professional is very much tied to looking for that opportunity to cross sell and get, you know, if you've got a qualified borrower in front of you, can I get more out of that person or do I try and go after business elsewhere? And I very much, the writing on the wall to me, again, speculatively, is that they were just looking out for their pocketbook. It was an opportunity for them to get, you know, another few hundred thousand dollars of volume on the books. And for me in this business right now, that's what I'm struggling most with is how did we go from 2020 being the voice of reason and understanding for our clients and talking them through scenarios and reassuring them that everything is going to be okay to now the focus being mining your database to get more business out of every single person that you've already dealt with in the past. And that is my mind taking advantage. You're looking
people are selfish. People are selfish, Jeff.
Yeah. Right? But you think this is bank directed? It's gotta be bank directed, right?
But it's not though, because we're even at our brokerage having these conversations. We have lenders that aren't at banks, monoline lenders that are coming onto our calls that are talking about and encouraging us to do database mining.
But a true character of an individual is shown in hard times, not in good times.
Correct.
That's true.
Right? So
correct. And this regardless of how anybody looks at how things are right now, I very much see this as hard times, just like they were in the beginning of the pandemic. Different things were happening.
Yep.
Right. Like, we didn't have inflation running wild like 2008
right now. Kind of, right? That's the
no, not quite, no. not even close to 2000.
Not even close.
Well, but in Canada, we plateaued in 2008. We're down now.
No, this is more of the dot-com bubble, 99, 2000 versus a credit crisis. In 2008 and 2009, basically the bad debt. You had the reliability of the banks. You had banks failing. You had, insurance companies failing, which is massive. Massive Fortune 500 companies, General Motors, Chrysler, needing bailouts. Otherwise, they were going to.
But you don't think we got under. The old keys getting handed back in coming real soon?
No. No,
I know of a couple places right now where I've talked to people.
100%. 100%. And we got to talk about the trigger rate, right? Trevor, the trigger rate's
huge. It's going to kill people.
It's insane, right? And that's, I mean, if we don't get to it on this podcast, I mean, we got to get to those variable rates that have a trigger rate on them. And
so.
The impact that's going to have, but not near. Just to clarify for the audience, not near 2008, 2009.
No,
and the recovery from this. In my
now, are you talking about in Canada or United States? 2008, 2000. Because the States was brutal, and Canada was bad.
Now, the reason 2008, 2009 is being compared today to that time is strictly based on the drop in housing values.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's where it's cut. That's how
we didn't experience that in Canada because we didn't have the amortizations.
See, but we didn't drop in 2008. We plateaued and we dropped now in 2022 significantly.
But we also
from January, February
between 2020 and 2022.
Yeah, monster rises
climbed by 50. Like they doubled.
But if we're talking from January, February to how much they've dropped now. You're talking last year from now, the same time of year. We're down from that last year.
Small, marginally, small right?
Last year, but from January, February, huge. Because we peaked.
Like next month in January, well, not next month because December's not here yet. But come January, if we're doing the analytics in January, year over year, we're down huge for January and February.
See, I think the problem coming up is we haven't seen it yet. The amount of breaches, and we're dealing with one right now, Bond, with one of our mutual clients. Mm-hmm. There's a breach in there where we're going to have to go after for damages, and we might not get anything from it, which is a brutal situation. Our brokerage knows of 20 of those things going on right now. I know of a couple of scenarios mutually with you, Bond, too, where clients have to give their keys back, and they're like, well, they took on a second B loan or B from a B lender in order to keep the mortgage going. Now they're separating. They've got to sell. The house is not worth nowhere near what they owe on the house. They can't get a realtor to help them now because they're not going to have any money left to pay. So what do you do with the keys? Boom, bankrupt.
Yep.
Well, right? No, somebody's not going to go. Nobody's going to go bank. If you're sitting on equity, right?
No, and but there's no equity.
Trying to sell.
There's correct. No equity. What if there's no equity?
That's when bankruptcy
then you're
comes.
Screwed. Then you have to hand in the keys.
But this is a call that I took last week that's happening. And they're interviewing three realtors, and all three realtors said,
don't confuse
there's
bankruptcy
no money in that house.
The house because you don't.
But what I'm saying is the house value is less than what they owe on it. There's no room left for commission or anything like that to pay out. No closing cost money left. What do they do? This is not like a one-off.
Yeah. Yeah.
It depends on when somebody acquired the real estate as well and the loan.
Let's say 1 year ago.
They're essentially Jeff's comments that they're happening a lot more often than they were before.
I think they're about to start happening is my comments.
No, I don't disagree with you, but I don't disagree with your comment. It definitely, if you are looking at, let's say, a 3-year rolling average pre-COVID, on default rates, which in Canada was less than 1% nationally. And that was even in 2008 and 2009. Are they going to trend higher than a rolling average? Yes, you are correct. You are going to see people have to sell because they can't afford it. I totally agree with you there. why people are more comparing it to 99 and 2000, which is the dot-com bubble, is basically what's happening with the stock market. So the dot-com crash, right?
All the tech stocks.
In 99, 2000.
Right.
All the tech stocks. That's your crypto equivalent. That's happening right now. And then the contagion spread in 99 and 2000 throughout other stocks in the market. And that also caused a bear market, right? A systemic bear market for about 3 years. The stock market just kept on going down. So versus 08, 09, you had a credit crisis. So you had another recession, which was part of the cyclical bull and then a cyclical bear. But that, it was just like the perfect storm. Everything came in, all your subprime mortgages came due. Whereas those subprime mortgages are not, how can I put this? They're not as exposed as they once were in 08, 09. So that's why I don't feel that in the US, you're going to have, you're going to have that systemic problem. On top of that, if you look at the debt load for the average American versus the average Canadian, they have less debt than the Canadians. Americans have less debt than Canadians. After 08, 09, Americans paid down their debt. Canadians took on more. And that's
a
lot of that
has to do with Canada and the UK. The values went up, right? Our real estate market never...
Correct. That's right. Our values went up, and whereas you never got parity, if you bought in, for example, in Arizona or in Florida, which were the two major markets that a lot of Canadians bought in during that crash,
I'd rather not talk about it.
Yeah, you never hit parity until like 2013, 2014. If you bought 08, 09, we got the deal, but those values never resurfaced. The stock market never resurfaced until 2011, 2012, a full like 3 or 4 years later, whereas that didn't really happen this time around. It's still down, but it's already starting to recover.
But when they make these interest rate changes, they say it usually takes about 6 months before you see the results of the change, right? We're starting to see
bare minimum is 2 to 3 quarters.
Quarters.
Typically.
Yeah, so you have 6 to 9 months.
6 to 9 bare minimum.
Minimum.
Realistically.
Minimum. So we haven't seen the pain from the initial ones yet. And they say there's more pain in interest rates coming.
It's actually 18 to 24. It's 6 to 8 quarters.
Monetary policy is 18 to 24. Fiscal policy is 12 to 18.
Yep.
Yes, Jeff, we're going to see more of it.
Yeah. Yes. But nowhere near 08, 09. I don't disagree with you. You're correct. You are definitely going to see an uptake in defaults. You are 100% correct.
Just don't like the comparison to 08, 09.
No, because that
is... See, I don't think 08, 09 was bad in Canada. I think we plateaued.
It wasn't. Yeah. It was because of our default insurance that we have, right?
This one might be worse.
That's what I'm saying. So you're saying it's not as bad, but we're saying it might be worse. So
it's different. I don't think that we're going to...
It's different.
See, what I think is going to happen is I don't think we're going to see... real estate defaults. I think if anything, the defaults are going to come from the unsecured debt. That's where I think defaults are going to lie. And it's kind of like, if you look back to April 2020, Evan Seidel, who was the CEO of CMHC at the time, and it was all over the media, 9 to 18% housing price decrease. That was what their modeling was telling them.
The beginning of the pandemic.
We commented
right?
on it in pandemic. Here.
Yeah. We laughed about it.
Correct. We laughed about it.
Yep. Fast forward to April 2021. So a year later, Evan Seidel is speaking amongst colleagues and amongst stakeholders and mortgage professionals. And he openly admitted that they made a mistake. The reason being is because they didn't realize how much who would have been impacted most by COVID. And the people impacted most by COVID were students and single income households. Those were the most dramatically impacted by that. Fast forward to what's happening right now. that's my logic and my reasoning as to why I don't think there's going to be housing defaults. There's going to be default on the unsecure side of things. People are going to be affected financially there because that affects every Canadian that's, for the most part, that's over the age of 18, because almost every Canadian over the age of 18 has some form of unsecured debt. Right. Whereas those with secure, not everybody in Canada owns a piece of real estate. So are we going to see defaults climb? I don't think so. I think that the people that will be most impacted will be those that bought between 2020 and today.
100%.
And those that don't own real estate at all. Right. For the four of us on this podcast, we're all fortunate, even though Collins, you did just build a house. You also came from a house that you owned for years. So you don't fall into that same category where we, all four of us, have enough equity that if we haven't touched it or done anything with it, we're still in good, comfortable positions financially. We don't have, like, we have fallbacks. It's those that went and refinanced to the max to do the pool.
Or came into the market.
Yeah, right.
Well, I think the problems are the people that have an initial mortgage and then they had to get a B lender for the second part of the mortgage, right? And now that secondary loan is going to default because they don't have enough money to make the payments on that because they're under variable for that. But then the bank's in first position. What happens there? The secondary can force a power sale, right?
Secondary has to buy out the first.
Correct.
Yeah.
So you have
to buy out
the
first to be able to force a power sale. It is a lot harder, to Bondo's point.
But what concerns me is the trigger rate on these variables when they qualified people on a stress test and the current variable rate with any kind of discount that was negotiated is still higher than whatever the stress test would afford. And some of the
well, not only that, you're saying
go ahead, Brent. It's like, oh,
oh no, I was just going to say, like,
the Canadian standoff. Eh?
Well, I just think.
I'm sorry.
You go first.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. No, you're sorry. We're all sorry. No, like, but like, if Rookie, if we can keep the four, the panels. Okay. Well, that's better. Yeah. That we can kind of, no, but just because this is a group thing that kind of like grinds all of our gears. Right. And so like when you've got, for example, I had my personal trainer, he's doing an expansion on his house, right. An addition on his house, walks in to said financial institution. He's talking to his branch manager, hand to God. And this is going back 3 weeks ago. And he's like, yeah, so and I'm working out with another guy. And he's like, yeah, so my bank manager said that rates are going to go down in December. And I go, what? He goes, yeah, they're going to go down. And I said, at a minimum, they're going to go up by 50 basis points. Like, that's what we all think. Like, you know, 25 at the very least, 25.
Mortgage or Bank of Canada?
Yeah, because the mortgage rates are going to come down. The Bank of Canada is going up.
Okay. No, he meant the way that it was said to him, the way that he relayed it to me was overnight lending rates going to go down. And I went, no, it ain't. I go, it's going to go up by a minimum of 25 to 50 basis points in December. Tim McKillum has already stated that more pain's coming the economy. Tiff Macklem has already stated that. So if the overnight lender rate goes up, then your variable rates are going to go up, and which means also your bond rates are going to increase, which means your fixed pricing is also going to go up. So maybe the relative discount to the mortgage rates might go down or might get higher.
That's
fine.
That's what he meant.
But I don't know where he's getting that information from. And this is kind of the BS that happens. Go ahead.
I can speculate on that, there is some truth to fixed rates. Most likely in December will come down slightly. Mm-hmm. The reason being is leading up to a Bank of Canada announcement, you have all of these companies that are hedging on the increase. So ahead of time, they're now putting pricing and getting their rates up in an attempt to make more money off of you, the customer, because you're going to panic. you're going to lock in. And then once the Bank of Canada makes the announcement that they do, then we see the rates come down. And if you look at all seven that we had so far this year,
yeah,
all seven of them that we had, the fixed rates were up and then the fixed rates dipped a little. We haven't had any decreases in the overnight lending rate, right? So variable and adjustable rate mortgages have remained unchanged.
Yep.
But the fixed rate, we've hit a plateau and then we've fallen off a little cliff each and every time. When we look at rates prior to October's meeting, rates were lower in October or the end of September, I should say, than they were in July when the Bank of Canada was rumored to be doing a one point increase. We thought it was 50 to 75 beeps at the time, ended up being a full point. But because of that hedging, we did see fixed rates lower in September than they were in July.
So December 6th is going to be a big, big call when they finally come 7th. Out of that, right? 7th?
December 7th. And then again, further rumors that the first meeting in January, which I believe is the 25th, 26th, 27th, somewhere. It's one of those 3 days. It's always a Wednesday, 10 a.m., 6 weeks apart, every meeting. What would that be? That's December
25th.
25th will be the next.
See, the interesting part about this is it's routinely dead at this time of year anyways.
Yeah, like, real estate. Like
from now, basically, till about middle January, February. The last 3 years, the most insane part of the whole year was end of February, March.
Yeah.
It was just, like, insane. And that's at the beginning of the pandemic, the first year into the pandemic, and kind of what we're calling the, you know, the ending or wrap up of the pandemic, which it's not wrapping up at all because we still got to go through Trudeau's spending like a drunken sailor, inflation causing.
And China. Did you guys get that text? That
thing do you see the riots going on in China right now?
Well, that's what I sent you. You didn't read the article?
It's insane. They're showing it all on video too. Like they're whipping like guardrails at people in hazmat suits
because
and stuff.
They're watching. Oh yeah, it's because they're watching the World Cup. They're saying they're watching the World Cup. They're seeing 40,000 to 50,000 people jammed into Qatar.
80,
you know, into it. You know, for the final, it's going to be 80,000. Yeah. No masks, no social distancing, and here is the leader of China basically going, oh, we need to have COVID zero. It's just like the rest of the world's moved on from that. It's not happening.
And they're not paying them at the factory in the iPhone factory too. That's where the big riot started right now. They're not paying them at all. They can't leave their houses. They're working.
Yep. Yeah. Like, so
they're losing their mind. Show.
Part of that article that Bondo sent had to do with what started it was a fire in a building where 10 people died because of COVID zero. They weren't allowed to leave and escape to save themselves.
And the responders were delayed in getting there.
Yes. It was a combination of all that that just started growing. And you've got colleges and universities around all provinces of China that this is how, people are just saying.
Well, and they probably all have VPNs too, right? So they can get outside of China and find out what's going on in the rest of the world, where they try to lock them down because it's communist rule there. So you can't use certain internet, but they can know how to get around it.
Yep.
So they're watching like football games on Thanksgiving where there's 100,000 people in Dallas, you know, like
it's insane. Like, could you imagine? Like, that's what they remember when we had Matt Abolik Cullen on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was said they were like 4, 5, 6 months ahead of us.
Yes.
Before they opened up. Right. So he was looking at us the way we're looking at China now. Right. And saying, Jesus.
Oh, I got an email this morning from the Ontario Minister of Health and basically advising me to go get my fourth dose and to get my flu shot and then also to wear a mask. And I'm like, no to all three.
I'm done.
I've done what I can do. We're moving on.
New things, the RSV, whatever's going around, they're saying.
Yeah, but that's
sure we had it. I'm sure that's what you got, Jeff.
I've got it right now. I think that's what you had, right, Don?
Yep.
2 weeks.
Like, it's going around. Like, my brother-in-law has it now, and it he's just getting better. Yeah, it's 2 to 3 weeks. It's absolutely garbage.
That's it. It's a cough.
But let's be perfectly clear, guys. we're not saying all of us here on this are vaccinated. So we're not, we're saying, hey, listen, if you are immunocompromised, you need to take the steps that you need to take to guard your own health and your own family's health. That's cool. But,
and we don't want to hurt you.
No.
You know what I mean?
All we're saying is
take the appropriate steps, right?
But I can assure you that and I'm sure if we have Sarah on, all of our opinions are going to change. Usually after that's what happens.
Yeah. We'll get shots together.
We all get shots together because she'll call us a bunch of idiots and then she'll be just like, go get your flu shots. We're like, okay, Sarah. But we're looking at, it's true. That's why we're looking at China going like, okay, but COVID zero, like, give me a break. Like this is, and it's draconian rule there. Like this is not, it's not, and you thought our lockdowns were bad. It ain't close to that to China.
And you know, the craziest part too is the riots and protests started on Saturday. And because like when you talk about your supreme leader the way they are right now and calling for their resignation, you run the risk of death.
Yeah.
Like it is bad. And people still went out again on Sunday.
Well, they don't have a life right now. So what are they saving? They have no life. They're prisoners in their own country. It's really intense for us because China wants to take over Taiwan again, right? So we talk about it a lot in our family, right?
Yeah.
And we're watching this, and my wife's father thinks it's a good idea for the communists to take over Taiwan. And we think it's from a business standpoint and all that.
My wife is, no. Jesus Christ. No. Jeff, put context to your comment. Not everyone knows that your wife is Taiwanese.
They should.
Can you put context?
If they're not a long-term listener and viewer, they have
everyone is viewer and they have our shirts and our mugs and our hats. They all know. I'm gonna get a shirt that's there, rookie, new shirt. Jeff's wife is Taiwanese. Just get that. Curry says Jeff's wife is Taiwanese.
Yeah, that's our new stuff right there.
Jeff has a Taiwanese wife. We need that shirt. Curry says Jeff has a Taiwanese wife. That'd be the number one selling shirt.
We're not racist.
Have a shirt. Right? Just have a shirt with Curry saying, context, Jeff. With the one ears. He's getting gray hairs as we speak.
It can it can be Curry's Bitmoji with air quotes.
Yeah.
Context.
And we can have Trevor with.
Oh, look. Jeff's got this.
Look at 120 bucks. It doesn't look too much different.
Nice metal handle.
I paid for the whole trip.
2 pounds.
So I got the cheaper saber.
Let's hear your sound, Jeff. Let's hear the sound yours makes.
Listen to that. We got three of them at our house.
Okay, not as good. Ready? And look, my blade even looks real.
Yeah,
it does.
Right?
From a dad standpoint, gentlemen, non-Star Wars geeks, 120 bucks. $250. You're paying for the whole trip.
You have to be a fan. Souvenirs. You have to be a fan.
Look at, and even I can compact it and put it in my backpack.
Oh.
Me too. Oh. Look, there we go. I got the blade out.
Wow.
Yeah, but what are you doing with the blade? The blade's so long. Look at, look how reduced. Context. I paid for this with my own money and the rest of the trip.
I paid for this with my own money
and the rest of the trip, the flight.
But look at how real
the room
it is.
Board, the food.
It looks real. It sounds real.
Oh my God.
But see, one, Jeff bought it for his kids to probably get his wife in bed. You bought that for yourself.
My
and
wife
I
didn't
slept
sleep with me
this
for a week
in
after
bed.
I bought that. She thought I wasted the money.
I slept with this in my bed.
Yeah, there you go.
He literally slept with it.
No. Come on. None of that.
Okay.
No. Let's be clear here.
Where's your heart stop here for Curry? 12:30?
It wasn't.
Yeah, we got 10 minutes.
So we should all do our wrap up then, I guess.
Well, it's not our hard stop. It's the Restream has doing an update, and we don't want to run the risk of being on here when there's an update.
When there's good quality content like this, who cares?
We just like talking about lightsabers and
lightsabers and
sleeping with them.
100% Look, I even took a photo of myself in bed with the lightsaber.
Nice.
Wow.
Excited.
You look like you had your vinegar strokes face on there.
I was going to say, you look more like Wolverine in that picture.
Well, it was the glow of the blade. I have that nice bright blue kyber crystal.
Here's another shirt for you, the rookie. Trevor Lindy says lightsabers are better than Viagra. They get more zing in your thing.
More zing in your thing. 100%
better than Viagra, Disney lightsabers.
How about Lindy is a Jedi?
I wish. I wish.
The Force is strong with this one.
That's right.
Oh, Jesus.
So
Avengers all the way.
So let's just rewind a little bit. You guys are ridiculous.
Gil's just now.
Now my wife's going to be in trouble. My wife's
watching. We've got no listeners besides our wives.
How much did you pay for those lightsabers? You told me $99, Jeff.
That's what my wife said. What the hell are you buying that for? The kids don't even like it. I was like, they're getting one. So they both got one.
My kids were so excited to go, and I did with Nate, built the droid with me, and nice. Allie built the lightsaber with me. They were pumped, and perfect. I got to do it. Here we go. We'll show the BB droid.
They can never touch it again, though, eh? So it stays.
No. They play with this. I let them play with this. It's remote controlled. It drives around. It makes some fun sounds.
Do you drive it up to Katie when the kids are gone? Say, Katie, the kids are gone. In like a droid voice?
No, it doesn't work like that.
It's like foreplay.
It doesn't
go put your Princess Leia buns on.
Yeah. She totally has some, doesn't she? That was one of your anniversary gifts. It's like the Friends episode.
Wow.
When Ross dresses up with like Princess Leia. Wow. He's like, but that's a damn good idea. That's a good idea.
Back to mortgages? No. We moved on to mortgages.
I think what time do we got?
Because I want you to talk about trigger rates, right? And I don't know how
it's honestly
what a trigger rate is.
I'll give a quick snapshot right now.
12:45.
Okay.
A quick snapshot of trigger rate.
Can we push to 12:46?
We'll add next podcast. Why don't we make a segment on trigger rate so we can get more into detail?
Yeah. What did they say right now? I think they said 20% of mortgages right now are at the trigger rate, and they said another interest raise would be 50%.
Yeah. So
I think that's what they're saying.
Basically, in a nutshell, what a trigger rate is, first we need to clarify, trigger rates affect variable rate mortgages, not adjustable rate mortgages. So if you are an adjustable rate mortgage and the bank, lender, credit union that you are with notifies you every time a rate increase happens and your payment changes, you have an adjustable rate. So trigger rate doesn't affect you at all. A trigger rate is basically for variable rate mortgage products. So meaning your payment is static and the interest within it fluctuates. What happens is the trigger rate is when there's no more money going towards principal. It's interest only. It's now exceeding that payment amount. And what's happening is it's actually causing your amortization to be extended beyond what you're currently at.
So you're in a standstill then.
That's a quick snapshot on it, but it is
you're going behind, Jeff.
Yeah. You're starting to go backwards.
On a 25-year amortization, if you hit your trigger rate next year, you can owe 26 years on your mortgage.
Correct. Yeah. So that's it in a nutshell. But definitely next episode, if you guys are okay with it, we'll make it a more in-depth topic because I think that there's going to be some engagement with comments. The lightsabers won't be out.
Yeah.
Just the droid. I wonder, can I put the droid on my
computer?
Should. Oh, you I should. Can.
Yeah.
I can let the droid sit here on my computer with me.
It's like a little buddy.
There we go. Perfect.
But trigger rate is really important, right? Because some people that are getting to that point are tacking on years to repay this debt back off.
Correct. And it also
depends on... I shouldn't say years,
but
months, whatever, it could be years, right?
It also depends on when you got the variable true variable, static payment, fluctuating interest, payment, mortgage in place. If you did a variable rate mortgage in 2021, then 100%, you're already backwards. You already hit your trigger rate. You should have already looked at increasing. Does your robot take your kids to school? I'm considering it right now. Now, the daughter's old enough. She walked herself to school this morning. Nate's homesick. But something I'll think about. I don't want to get the droid all scuffed up driving on the concrete. Anyways, we will make it a more in-depth.
You seriously consider that, right?
Why not? Definitely needs to be a more in-depth topic. One thing I'll note just for anybody watching or listening for this episode, the 2023 Bank of Canada dates are all set. They have been for a couple of months now. Keeping in mind, it's always a Wednesday. They're basically 6 weeks apart. It happens at 10 a.m. So the following eight meetings for 2023 are as follows: January 25th, March 8th, April 12th, June 7th, July 12th, September 6th, October 25th, and December 6th, 2023. We do have a December 7th meeting, which is the last one of 2022. And then the other thing I'll note is January, April, July, and October are all monetary policy meetings.
Question for you here on these triggered mortgages.
Yep.
When they have that, can they do anything to increase their payments so that they are paying part of principal still, or is that locked
in? That's the point. But it's you need to know what your trigger rate is in order to make that change.
But right? Or are they locked in? Could they say, "Well, I want to add $200 more to my payment a month"?
They absolutely want. Anybody in a true variable rate mortgage can absolutely increase their payment to protect themselves from this trigger rate, or to
almost all mortgages
going backwards.
Well, because like I know my mortgage, when I had mine for Cabot Street, I'd always pay down a lump sum every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but in your
prepayment privileges, right?
That was an adjustable rate mortgage that you had there, right? So if the Bank of Canada changed, your payment changed as well. If the rate changed,
okay,
right? But so that's what you had.
So anyone that has the other mortgage will automatically, or is it depending on the wording?
It depends.
Be allowed to increase their payment.
Yeah.
Almost all mortgages you can put some measure of additional funds without penalty.
Correct. The legal term, some measure of funds.
Yeah. It's usually but isn't it usually like up to 10 or 15% of the
principal? It all depends on the lender.
Institution.
Yeah. Yep.
Usually anywhere between 10 to 20%.
And in all honesty, there's some lenders that allow you to double up your mortgage payments.
And some zero.
Correct. And there's some that have prepayment privileges where it can only be once per year. Others, it doesn't matter. It can be 365 days a year. And then others have prepayment privileges that are restricted to a payment date.
Now, do you have any numbers on how many people have hit the trigger number yet? I heard it was like 20% right now.
I'm not sure.
You know what? Again, like I said, it's such a more in-depth topic than what we're actually hitting on right now. So that I'll do some research.
Yeah.
So that our next one, when we go live in December, our middle of the month, December 1, I guess we'll only do one in December, eh?
Probably. But so, you have to listen to your professionals, people, right? You have to listen to your professionals, because you know what? You're going in and sitting down with your mortgage broker. Your mortgage broker's telling you, is it adjustable? Is it variable? What are the implications? How much can I pay down without penalty? Your lawyer's also going to talk to you about what your prepayment options are without penalty. They're not usually going to delve into the type of product that you have. I mean, usually we'll make mention if it's a HELOC or something like that, or maybe a variable or an adjustable, but we're going to defer to the mortgage. But listen, you've got to listen to your brokers when they're having these discussions with you at the onset.
Pay attention.
The scary part is there, because we talked about it on a previous episode where it probably would have been like mid-September-ish, I think, might have been October, where there was one of Canada's big five, FI, had a mortgage professional selling a client on what they believed to be a variable rate or a capped rate mortgage. And in turn, they actually put them into an adjustable rate mortgage. payments were $400 a month higher. They weren't in a financial position to cover that cost. They were in a very, and the point being, like, this is a financial institute. This is an employee of a financial institution. The scary reality, and I'm not trying to tell people that they should be questioning everything, but when in that case, the clients were dealing with their mortgage professional. Their mortgage professional told them one thing. They had a branch signing appointment. They were getting different information at the branch signing appointment. And their lawyer in turn reviewed things and said, hey, this isn't what you're getting. Well, no. But the mortgage professional told us. So the point that I'm bringing up is if, you know, like when Bondo and I are working together on a file, we're on the same page. So the message I'm delivering to the client is the same message that he's delivering to the client regarding variable, adjustable, prepayment privileges, penalties, etc. But if you're going and dealing with somebody and the message isn't the same, question both of the professionals. Question the 100%. Lawyer, question the mortgage.
Figure it out.
Get the clarification, right?
And if you're not sure and you have a mortgage right now, you should be able to look at your mortgage commitment paperwork and it'll be outlined in that for you too, right? Hopefully you do have it. Well,
the problem is, though, adjustable rate mortgages do appear to be variable rate mortgages, and variable rate mortgages do appear to be adjustable rate mortgages on their commitments.
But so that's when their professional find out what it is to clarify.
When I'm meeting with a client, I always indicate anytime it's a variable or adjustable, it's a floating rate. I always say, look, it's one of these two. Confirm with your broker or your lender which product you're in, because it's going to have a net effect on the end back end result. It could have a net effect on the end result.
How can it be so vague when you have it in there? Like, wouldn't that have to be outlined? Like,
it is, but just some of the verbiage that they use within the contract is very, it varies from financial institution to financial institution. So it can be, I have read mortgage documents myself, my own, but that was totally fine. I mean, I've dealt with Trevor and Bondo, so it was totally fine. But, you know, with other clients, and I was confused. I didn't know which one they had. And a couple times I've had to call Trevor and ask for clarification based on verbiage. But, you know, like the classic, and this is why I always use a mortgage broker, always, because they don't have any skin in the game whether or not which financial institution you go to. They don't. They don't care because they get paid the same rate, and sometimes depending on the promotion or whatever, but depending on the financial institution, but they get paid from the financial institution for landing that mortgage. They don't care which one you go with. They don't care which rate you go with. They really don't. And this is why a huge
proponent of that. Well, they work for you, not for the bank, right?
That's right. They work for you. And you don't pay them.
Well, that's
anything
what they should be doing. Not all of them are the greatest.
No, but here's I got a quick example. Again, another client that I tried to refer to Trevor. The husband just knew everything and decided not to go with Trevor. You know which one I'm talking about, Trev, right? And he ended up going with the one of the big five. And they had an existing relationship. Well, you know, he doesn't know what he's talking about, blah, 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 blah. Meanwhile, Trevor was just being honest. He was being straight up and honest. And the lady at the time that they were dealing with at the bank basically said, listen, it was a 5-year adjustable rate mortgage. This will not go up, she said, this will not go up higher than 3% in the term of this mortgage. Okay, first of all, this is what absolutely pisses me off about the financial institutions and how they're federally regulated and how they get away with all this crap. Because if I said to somebody, notwithstanding GIC rates, where I'm allowed to quote a GIC rate because the GIC rate is fixed,
it's locked,
I'm legally not allowed to tell you I can't guarantee an interest rate. I can't guarantee anything. As a matter of fact, financial plans, according to FP Canada, we have to use a conservative rate of 4% for any assets and 3% for any like housing or any commercial assets. Like we've had questions on it and we're like, I'm sorry, but our license is way more important than, yeah, we're going conservative. Yep. We'll try to break the plan, yep, is what we want to do.
Yep.
So sure enough, 6 months ago, a girlfriend of Kristen's, like that's the relationship, turned around and she's like, right.
I know exactly who the client is now.
And turned around and she's like, we're so pissed because we're now at 4.5% and we were told ba 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 ba, and we usually this, that, and the other thing. And they went to go follow up. So where is she? Well, one of three things happened at the bank. Either you're good and you get promoted, either you're bad and you get fired, or you retire. And this person retired. And so she's just washed her hands away and she's gone. There's no recourse what they can do whatsoever. And they're stuck paying these higher interest rates. So when the mortgage rates go up again in December, their interest rate's going to go up again.
See, that's the problem in our industry is, and this is true, the truth hurts, mm-hmm. but the truth is crucial. And the problem in our industry, if you give someone the truth, they're not getting sugarcoated. So they'll find another professional who gives them something that's not the truth.
Yeah.
And they feel like that's the reality I want to live. So I'm going to go down that rabbit hole. But when the truth comes back up and you're like, oh shit, that guy who told me from the beginning that I didn't want to hear that, that was important. Boom.
You mean kind it's of hard like because
I know kind I need like to have $4 million of insurance all the time and all that. I get it. I get it. Insurance, I gotta buy. Yeah. I gotta buy lightsabers and Harry right. Potter wands and foosball tables.
You want to hear a story about lightsabers? I'm sorry, it came up, so I gotta.
I got a new shirt. Quick though, Trevor with his lightsaber is droid, and it says celibacy is out of this world. What do you think?
I'll take
and the lightsaber.
With the lightsaber and the droid on it. Love celibacy.
So there, Allie and I are waiting to go in for our appointment, and doesn't a family of six come out, all with lightsabers? Three greens, two blues, and a purple blade. $1,600 US for six lightsabers. $1,600, one family.
Was Graham in the back?
They didn't even get a deal for getting all six of them?
Nope, they were there. They were posing with their lightsabers. I watched them hand their cell phone to an individual that just came out as well. Would you mind taking a photo of us? And they all crossed swords. $1,602 with tax for six of them.
All right. Well, this is a good time to end. So
we got some Bondo, good shirt ideas today, though.
Hey, great shirt ideas. Yeah, great.
Bondo, another good shirt. Jeff, you need more insurance.
Yes.
Right?
just be a picture of my wife, like, driving a Lincoln Navigator to a beach with, like, a fur coat on and, like, so much drip with diamonds and all that and saying, I listen to Brandon Curry.
Hashtag.
And then just your tombstone, Jeff? Just your tombstone on the back.
Yeah, and just like a, no, just like a little urn that's, like, beside the TV, right? Beside the 150-inch TV.
Hashtag is right need more insurance.
Yeah.
Back of the shirt is Jill holding the smoking gun.
Yeah, that'd be good.
No, like a little box of arsenic for my food that she makes.
Okay. Perfect.
Thanks, Sig. All right. Litch, Brand Boulevard.
Thanks, Brand Greatly Boulevard.
Greatly appreciated for the sponsorship. Help us help you stay informed.
Bye.
Do, Did, Will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.
The Podcast Super Friends is a monthly meeting of 5 podcast producers.
Hi, I'm Catherine O'Brien from Branch Out Programs in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I'm John Gay from Jag and Detroit Podcasts.
I'm Matt Kundel from the Sound Off Podcast Network.
I'm David Yes from Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
And I'm Johnny Peterson from Straight Up Podcasts. Together, they form the Podcast Super Friends, an alliance of podcast masterminds sharing best practices, insights, and discussions to help make you a better podcaster. Follow or subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or at soundoff.network.
Produced by Cryer Media and distributed by the Sound Off Media Company.